This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Let's start with why this word immunity even matters in the Adelson saga, and specifically the trajectory of Wendy Adelson, who I will say has always maintains her innocence, has never been charged with anything. And there you go. This is an opinion piece. This is, in my opinion, this is allegedly blah, 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 blah. In every murder for hire case, there is a question that hangs over the courtroom like smoke. There is. Ever been in a courtroom, you know what that's all about. Who's telling the truth? And who's telling it only because they were promised protection from saying it? Sometimes you have to wonder about that. Sometimes it's out there in the open. It's like documented. In the Dan Markell case, that question has always landed on one person, and her name is Wendy Adelson. When Donna Adelson went on trial for orchestrating her former son-in-law's murder, Wendy wasn't just another witness. She was the one person who could tie motive, money, and family intent together in a way no one else could. But there was a problem. She also sat close enough to the conspiracy that her words could have opened her up to prosecution herself. Ooh, that's not good. If you're Wendy, that's where the deal came in. Before she ever walked into that courtroom, the state of Florida gave her use and derivative use immunity, the narrow kind of legal armor that says, we can make you testify, and in exchange, we won't use your compelled answers or anything directly derived from them to charge you later. A version of this is how Bill Cosby is now free. Okay? It is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's more like a bulletproof vest with a few holes in it. It keeps you safe only from the shots that come from your own mouth. And that's the ground we're standing on today. As everyone wonders, will they charge her next? I don't know. I don't know how much she knew. Neither do you. But we can speculate. What did Wendy actually say under that shield? What exactly is she protected from? And which of those statements would have blown back on her hard if that protection didn't exist? That's what we're going to examine here today. And in the comment section on YouTube, your thoughts, please. Love to hear them. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. If you're not on YouTube already, to find us there, you can comment on this if you're listening on the podcast platforms. When Wendy took the stand, she began by confirming what prosecutors had spent years trying to prove. Her mother didn't want her stuck in Tallahassee. She repeated that Donna called her life there a hostage situation, a prison. Those are Wendy's own words under oath. And they draw a direct line from the family's obsession with control to the motive for actual murder. She acknowledged endless email chains with her mother about the custody battle, confirming that the state displayed dozens of times. She didn't deny them. She owned them. She admitted that Donna had come up with what she herself called strong-arm tactics to force Dan Markell's consent to relocation. Convert the kids, humiliate him, offer him $1 million payout. Wendy told the jury she thought those ideas were crazy. But she also made it clear who would have supplied the money. My mom, my dad, and my brother. She conceded that after the murder, she told the police, my parents have more reason to dislike Danny than anyone else. Odd statement. Now she calls that statement one that she made in shock. And then came the infamous TV versus hitman conversation, where Charlie joked that it would have been cheaper to buy a television than to hire someone to kill Dan. Wendy confirmed it happened. She said it was in poor taste, which, yeah, it was. It's kind of a, you know, I get people say things. Had no one ended up dead, it would have been just that. But someone ended up dead by a hitman, by a man convicted of hiring the hitman with a money trail. But she denied knowing anything about it beforehand. She denied giving out information, even unknowingly. She denied any family pact built on plausible deniability. She called her mother a very good mother or something to that extent. She testified Donna never once said that Donna deserved harm. And she admitted calling Dan an STD and an emotional terrorist in old messages, dismissing it as emotional venting, not evidence of malice. That's the record, the literal transcript of what she said while sitting under the state's subpoena. Now, what does that immunity actually do for her? It locks all that testimony into a safe. Prosecutors can't use her answers or any evidence that's sprouted from those answers to bring charges against her later. If they want to prosecute her someday, they have to build that case from evidence found entirely on its own, independent of what she said on that stand. No chain of custody leading back to her words. No derivative use. That's a very specific kind of safety. It is not forgiveness. It is containment, basically. But that safety has limits. It doesn't protect her from perjury if she lied. It doesn't cover her if the state builds a case from bank records, texts, or witnesses they obtained independently. Remember, there was a lot of, I just don't remember, from Wendy. That's not lying. And it doesn't travel with her if the defense tries to call her to the stand. That's why her attorney successfully killed the defense subpoena. Her armor only fits when the state is the one asking the questions. So let's imagine she didn't have a deal, just for a moment here. Her statement that she was a hostage in Tallahassee, well, that's motive, clean and simple. Her description of the $1 million payoff, well, that's means. It shows a willingness to put money towards solving a problem, and it would have played like a blueprint for the crime, in my opinion. The acknowledgement that my parents have more reason to dislike Danny than anyone else, that's awareness, maybe even foresight. Her recollection of the hitman joke, that's familiarity with the idea of violence against her ex-husband. Her text messages calling him names, that's context and state of mind. Without immunity, prosecutors could stitch all of those threads into a conspiracy tapestry in about 5 minutes, in my opinion. With immunity, those threads are sealed off and untouchable. The state can still look for matching colors somewhere else, but they can't pull from that fabric. So, why did prosecutors agree to this? Because they needed her voice to build the story. Wendy was the human bridge between the victim and the people who planned his death. Without her, jurors would have been left to guess what those family dynamics looked like from the inside. With her, the state got an inside narrator, the person who lived the resentment, the custody fight, the money talk, all of it from behind the curtain. And for Wendy, the deal meant survival. She gets to talk without incriminating herself, at least not directly. But that's a temporary kind of safety. Again, if independent evidence ever surfaces, say a phone log or message threads that proves she knew more than she admitted, prosecutors can still move in. They just have to keep their case completely clean of her immunized testimony. That's the razor's edge Wendy Adelson walks, protected but not free. Every word she spoke is legally wrapped in caution tape, but the world still heard it. And when you listen back, the picture that emerges is of a woman trying to tell the truth just far enough to stay safe, while never saying anything that closes the trap door under her family's name. Immunity doesn't erase her role in this story. It just made her vision or version of it admissible and untouchable at the same time. That's the paradox that keeps this case alive. The state got its testimony, Wendy got her shield, and the rest of us are left wondering whether the truth we heard was a confession or just a performance carefully rehearsed behind bulletproof glass. Because in the world of hidden killers, immunity isn't always about justice. Sometimes it's just the price of keeping the story moving. You be the judge. Did Wendy know? Was Wendy a part of all of this? Or was she another victim of her family? Her overzealous, narcissistic family that was going to do what they were going to do, come hell or high water, whether she liked it or not. And she's left to pick up the pieces because the narcissists, well, they never do. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. And I can honestly see it both ways. There are certainly things that one, if you're in this enmeshed family, you would think you would know about your family. On the outside, it looks like there's some knowledge. Is it knowledge or is it just a, I'm going to just say feeling. That sounds so light. But when you know what your family is capable of and you see things in motion that they didn't tell you about, it's not always hard to connect the dots. That doesn't mean you knew about it. It means you know they're capable of it. And there is a difference. But where does Wendy fall in all of that? She maintains her innocence. Your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, and that is where you will find us. We'll keep talking. You keep giving us your thoughts. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you are listening so you don't miss any of our commentary and coverage on this case. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.